Welcome to the West Ham Way USA podcast. I'm your co-host Tony in a different spot this month. I am actually in Charleston, South Carolina. Brawley, where are you at?
I'm in my basement in my hometown of Wood River, Illinois, just outside of St. Louis, and I am just chilling in my man cave. What's going on with you? It's been a while.
It has been a while. Our last episode was show number 15. This is number 16, and that was May 3rd, so almost a good 5 weeks ago. It wasn't really much to talk about, and you and I have been busy folks, but luckily with our change in schedule and West Ham back, hopefully we will get back to doing Sunday nights. I'm in South Carolina right now visiting my sister, trying to do a little bit of quarantining by ourselves still, though, trying to be a little bit safe, and then going down to Florida to see my dad, which obviously South Carolina and Florida have been the worst states in America for COVID recovery. So everyone wish me luck and pray for me, but I also really want to see my family. So it is what it is, and we'll make it through. But
I think you'll be fine.
I think I'll be okay as long as I'm not a bozo about it. So
yeah,
we actually have some stuff to talk about this week. I think it might get a little spicy later because I wanted to respectfully bring up our conversation about football returning and some other things we could talk about, some personnel and Gakia and all that, and how we feel the season will resume and what to expect for next year.
For sure, yeah. I mean, like you said before, the reason we weren't really doing shows and weren't really too bothered about doing the shows is because there just isn't enough to talk about. It's not like Dave and X can get on all these X players and have a conversation. Unfortunately, it's a little bit harder for us to do that. And I think we would have been talking about the same thing for the last every single week for the last 5 weeks. So yeah. We finally have some good news to talk about, which is great. And the Premier League will return Wednesday. So when you guys listen to this tomorrow, Tuesday, you'll be one day away from Premier League football. So I believe the season kicks off with Sheffield United playing Aston Villa. They're playing Aston Villa. And then the second game that day is Man City Arsenal. And I now that it's happening, I think people, if you don't remember my views on it, I was very disappointed to hear that the season was going to be starting up again, not for West Ham reasons, but mainly for safety reasons and putting money over lives. And I thought it was a bit silly, but now that it's happening, I have to embrace it. I mean, we're going to be in a tough battle coming down these last 8 or 9 games that we have left. And it's going to be a really, really, it's going to be a struggle to finish outside the relegation zone. But I think we are capable of doing it, and hopefully we can talk about that a little later, how we think we'll do and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm slowly getting excited for these games to be coming back and have something to watch on TV. Although I hate the prospect of playing behind closed doors, and I don't think it's going to feel the same, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. But I do wanted to confirm what you did say. Aston Villa is playing Sheffield on Wednesday the 17th at 1 o'clock Eastern. And Man City is playing against Arsenal at 3:15 Eastern, and I believe both of those are on NBC Sports.
Yep.
No people in attendance, and I believe they're both on Sky as well. I know BBC did get some games. I think they got 4 games, but I'm not
sure
which ones.
There's a bunch of games. There's like BT, Sky, Amazon, and there's like 5 different broadcasters over there getting the game, and most of them are going to be free to air. I think there's only a couple that will not be free to air, which is wrong.
I don't know the real ins and outs there, but I know NBC Sports will have all of them in America. So that is good news there. When it comes to West Ham, our fixtures are on the Saturday, the 20th of June at 12:30 Eastern against Wolves. Tuesday the 23rd against Spurs at 3:15 in the afternoon, and West Ham Chelsea on July 1st at 3:15. So those are the first 3 fixtures and time frames that they have announced.
Some tough games, really tough games out of those first 3.
Yeah, and I think the main thing is going to be that Wolves game, man. I mean, obviously Spurs and Chelsea are going to be tough. I think the way the season goes is we either I think John, I don't know his last name, I know he's part of the Philly Hammers, said it perfectly in my opinion on Twitter the other day. He's, you know, it's going to set the tone. You know, if we can get a result against Wolves and get some positivity back into this club, Especially behind closed doors, in a way, I think we could easily kick on against Spurs or Chelsea. Who knows what they might be looking like? Who knows what we look like? But if we lose against Wolves and it just this doom and gloom sets back over this club, I think we could be in some real trouble.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it could be the best thing that ever happened to us. It could be the worst thing that ever happened to us. I mean, form. All that form that those teams had going into these run of games is out the window. I mean, form is irrelevant. It's like you're starting a brand new season. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone can beat anyone when a new season starts up. So I don't think you can just immediately write us off to lose all three games like we probably could have if we were playing the season out like normal. I mean, easily could have gone on. I probably would have picked us to lose all three of those games. But now I don't know what to expect. I have no idea. We played two preseason games, or friendlies, I should say, one against QPR and one against Crystal Palace, and we've won both of them. What does that mean? I don't know. Could mean absolutely nothing.
Because they could have put subs on it, hold new teams at half. It could be. I mean, there's so many different factors.
Yeah, I think the Palace game, there was three sets of 11s that we played. And some people played in between, but I was like 3 30-minute segments that they broke it down into. I think Declan Rice was the only player to play all 90 minutes. Who knows what to expect? I mean, it is a toss up. It is an absolute toss up. And I truly believe that anything could happen over these last 9 or 10 games.
I've been enjoying the Bundesliga. I wouldn't say it's better without fans, because obviously not. We got into it in the group chat, and it's the same group chat that y'all will hear us reference a lot. There's this one phrase that I absolutely hate, and a lot of people, and I'm probably going to get slated for it, but I really don't care because I hate the phrase. I absolutely hate the phrase, football without fans is nothing. It just drives me insane. Because I agree, the atmosphere absolutely sucks, and it's the reason we play games should be for the fans and not money. I think it's just use. I want to use your argument before you use it. I thought you said it perfectly, though. You can be angry about things that still happen regardless. I guess my problem with the football without fans is nothing and people who don't want us to play, I'm like, well, you don't have a choice. So maybe it's me trying to be positive and come to copes with it and not be angry and try to find positive in this terrible time. I've come around to be okay with it. I'm excited to watch West Ham again, even though it'll probably ruin my weekends. I'm excited to see the team go at it again. I just absolutely hate the phrase football without fans is nothing, because you could still be a fan on TV. I think you can. I'd much rather go to the games, but and I go over, 2 or 3 times a year, but it's at the same time, you can be a fan without going to games. And I think you could easily watch West Ham on TV and still be a proper fan and enjoy it with nobody in the crowd. It's not going to be the same, but I think you can still enjoy it.
The problem for me is the integrity of the competition that you're playing in is gone the second you don't have anyone in the stands, when you've played all this way up to it with fans, and then now you can't have people in the doors, and I think that compromises everything. And then you bring in, and this is going off a little bit, but then you bring in rule changes. Like, now they're gonna have 5 subs. You can't do that. It's not the same season. It's not the same set of rules. It's not the same season. I know this isn't the argument. This is a total side tangent. But for me,
us side tangent,
the game is nothing without the fans, and this will prove it, because these games are going to feel like meaningless friendlies. They absolutely will. Some of them, I'm not saying all of them will. Hopefully the players are still going to be up for it. Hopefully the superstars are still going to want to play, but these games, like your, let's say, Southampton against, who's in the middle half the table, Everton. That game's it's going to be the most boring, pointless game with no one in the stands. They're going to kick the ball around for 90 minutes. It's probably going to finish 0-0 without much intensity. And I think fans are the reason there is a Premier League. Only reason. you're not going to have major sports without fans in the crowd. And I think it's a slight slap in the face to continue this season without fans in the stands. And I hear where you're coming from, and you just need to embrace it, get over it, because it's happening. But at the same time, us as fans who do pay the money to go, and I'm not even one of them, because I haven't been to a game in two seasons, although I was supposed to go to the Newcastle and the Burnley games. Mm-hmm. But I think it's an absolute piss take to play in front of nobody, and it's get used to it because it's happening. But I think this will prove that football without fans is nothing, because it couldn't succeed in the long run without fans. It wouldn't exist without the fans, the money that we put into it. Sure, you could have these TV companies put all this money into it and play in front of no one, but the fans are football, and the only reason football exists is because of supporters. And I think you can be pissed off about playing in front of an empty crowd, because that's what a lot of people live for. And I get it's a safety issue. I get that. But you could hold it off until fans are ready to come back into the season or come back into the stadiums and wait for that. But no, you're going to go ahead and finish this competition because you need all that lost revenue. And that's the only reason you're going to go ahead and play. That's what I have an issue with, and I think that's what millions of fans have issues with, and that's where the phrase football without fans is nothing is totally accurate, in my opinion.
See, because I guess the worst part about our conversation is I agree with you on all of your actual meat of your points. You know what I mean? Will the atmosphere suck? Yes, absolutely. Do the rule changes suck? Yes, absolutely. Would scoring a 90th minute winner in stoppage time to beat Spurs 3-2, would you lose all the scenes? Absolutely. Taking a yellow card, running into the stands, carnage everywhere. I mean, I'm just giving myself chills talking about it. You know what I mean? You do lose all that, 100%. And do the companies need us as fans to make the money? Yes. So could you boycott it? Yes. I just have a tough time. I someone related in the group chat related it back to some other issues I don't really want to bring up, but there's certain things for me that I get upset about that I feel like I can change. It's hard for me to be upset about things that I can't change. Does that make sense? In a way, I have a tough time being upset about this because they were going to go ahead and do it anyway. So I'm going to try and find a way to enjoy this. I've enjoyed the Bundesliga. Would I much rather have fans? Absolutely. I think the argument is not really would it be better or worse with or without fans. It's this is the new normal. This could be years. It could be 6 months. We just don't know. Right. So I think that's where I'm saying, well, we might as well move forward and figure out how we're going to play and live life and watch sports, because who knows if – I'm not a doctor. I'm not a pandemic person. It could be 3 years before we have fans. NASCAR in America has 5,000 people next week. However, also, America is a shithole, and we're leading cases, and our COVID response was an absolute disgrace. So who knows if it's safe and – if we can have fans in the next year, 2 years, 3 years, vaccine in 2 months, 9 months, I don't know. So I guess my argument is we might as well just try to enjoy something and get back to some sort of normality. It's not normal, but it's some sort of enjoying sports on the weekends again.
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from, where you feel like what you do won't affect the outcome, so what's the point? But in life, if you took that argument into everything – like voting, let's say voting, you say my vote doesn't matter, so why should I do it? I should just stay home. I don't need to go to the polls and vote.
But your vote does matter. That's not what I'm saying at all. Like that's something where you can, your vote matters and can affect change. It can affect policy. I'm saying me watching a sporting event does not affect change or policy or life, in my opinion.
Well, if everyone took that stance and said, okay, I'm not going to watch the games, we know that's not going to happen. We know that's not going to happen. But if, in theory, if everyone did take that stance and say, I'm a boycott, I'm not going to watch, then in theory, then that would induce the change and they might start considering other things. I'm just saying that that logic where you don't think you can personally do anything to affect the outcome. I just don't think you can apply that here, because I think if you do get enough people, that would affect any. I think it will. You'll see the hurt from this happening, and there not being fans in the stadium. There will be a fallout from it, and hopefully it's that opens their eyes that the fans are a must. And if we don't get fans and we have to watch 2 years of this, it's not gonna be pretty, because I think you're gonna see a lot of people tune out. I tried to watch the Bundesliga, and I don't have a team to support, so maybe that's a part of the problem. I thought it was crap. I hated it. And I'm not saying I love watching football, don't get me wrong, but it felt like meaningless games to me. It felt like a friendly. It felt like when I saw Haaland score for Dortmund in the first game back, there was no celebrations. He kind of just ran off to the side and they all distanced and then they went back to the center circle, and there was no passion there. And that's what I watch football for, is the passion, the excitement, the adrenaline rush. And maybe with West Ham playing, I can see, okay, I'm nervous because I don't want us to go down. So there is that maybe a little adrenaline rush. I don't know until I feel it. So I can't say for certain whether or not it's going to happen. But I just think playing in front of no fans is wrong. And I think you absolutely, each and every one of us has a right to be upset about it. You could be excited about it. There's a lot of people excited to watch it. And to be honest, I'm starting to get excited for games. I have a Saturday morning where I can watch a West Ham game, and that's the excitement starting to build up. So I'm even getting excited about it. But I'm saying the overall idea of playing in front of no one is just a slap in the face to me. And that's something we don't have to agree on, too.
No, you're right. We don't have to agree. I just think it's one of those things where it's just tough. I agree. It's gonna suck. It's not gonna be the same. But I'm not prepared to say, okay, well, if we can't have people in the stands for 2 years, well, fuck it, I'm not watching football. Like, maybe that's just me. You're welcome to have your opinion on that, and plenty of our listeners as well might say, well, fuck it, going to games is all I want to do. If I can't go, I don't watch, or I have other things to do, and I don't feel like watching an empty stadium, then that's fine. And kudos to you for that. I'm not prepared to not watch West Ham for 2 years because there's nobody there. I can't be like that.
And this, again, goes back to the point. It's like you can still be mad about this and still watch the games because they're on. I mean, I'm still going to be watching the games, but I am not happy that they are going ahead with this and playing in front of nobody, and I'm really not happy about the rule changes. And so I think you can do both and still lie. You can still be upset about it, which I think most people will. I think for these first few weeks, to see how it goes, the ratings are going to be fantastic. The ratings are going to be through the roof because people are so desperate for it. I think it's once you get to that point of, okay, this is a meaningless game and the players don't care. The players are on the beach. If they don't care, I'm not going to watch. That's going to rub off totally, and it's going to feel like a U23s game, and it's going to be just an absolute snooze fest. And I think football is a sport where crowds are an absolute must. It's not like baseball where the crowd doesn't really have much effect on the game. But the crowds in the Premier League absolutely influence results. I firmly believe that. And this past Bundesliga match week, zero home wins, zero. Mm-hmm. And that's weird.
You're completely correct. It eliminates home and away. It eliminates any advantage or disadvantage for the London Stadium that you would have playing at home. You're completely correct. I mean, all your points make 100% sense. Like, I think what you're saying pretty much is it's not, was it exclusive where you either watch and be happy.
Yeah, I'm not. Or don't watch and be angry. Yeah, you're not a hypocrite if you're angry and watch. I don't think you're a hypocrite at all. I think you can absolutely do it and still even maybe find yourself enjoying it. And maybe I'll be proven to be wrong. I don't think so, but I think this will prove how essential fans are to the game, because the longer this drags on, the lower the viewers are going to go. And they're going to be great at the beginning. I know that. I'm aware that there will be great viewer numbers at the beginning.
There was like, what the hell? This is interesting.
It's going to start to slowly tank week after week after week when there's not many exciting things to watch, because the league title will be wrapped up either next week or the week after. Yep. And the only thing you'll have to watch for is the Champions League places and the relegation battle. And so we'll see. I don't know.
Yep. All right. Let's take a quick pause here and maybe get into some questions or some other topics.
And now we'll move on to my personal favorite part of the show, is when we get to hear from our listeners on Twitter and Facebook. And Tony, I believe you have the first question lined up from us on Facebook.
Yes, it is from Scott. So I do want to point out, we do have a Facebook. If you just search West Ham Way USA podcast, we don't really use it that much, but we are trying to get back into the swing of it. We did note on there that Twitter is our usual primary source of information, but we want to mix it up and try to use both. So follow us on Twitter, which will be later in the show from Brawley, or on Facebook. So the first question is from Scott Davis. So he's not on Twitter much anymore, and he wants to know what we think of the Ngakia situation. So do you want to start on that one, since you've listened to podcasts more than I have lately? I've kind of taken a break from all podcasts, not really West Ham or non-West Ham, just it's been a busy time. So you've listened to some of the podcasts more than just a pod, and obviously our partner podcast, West Ham Way. Any good information on the Ngakia, or bad, I should say?
Well, X is always a great source of information. Absolutely. And for the most part, it's been a lot of speculation, and X hasn't confirmed or denied. Well, he has denied some of the wage figures that were floating around. I mean, categorically, I believe The Sun and The Daily Mail and some of the other newspapers are reporting that Ngakia was wanting in the Reese Oxford range of 20 grand a week, which they have categorically said is not true. From listening to X and Dave talk, it sounds like Jeremy is asking for a wage in the region of 8,000 to 10,000 pounds a week, which for me is reasonable if he's going to be the right back of the future. And if we are piddling around with all of these appearance figures and appearance bonuses, and I get where the club are coming from, you know, we've been burned by Reese Oxford obviously in the past, and we don't want to let that happen again. But Dave Walker, I mean, I totally mimic Dave's views on this, and a lot of what I'm going to say will sounds like it's coming straight from Dave's mouth, because basically it is, and I share his views totally. Reese Oxford shouldn't come into the decision whatsoever. If you have a talent on your hands that you are scared to lose, and that you might think be the right back of the future. He's only played four games, but those four games came against two against Liverpool, I believe one against Man City and one against Southampton, I believe. It could be wrong. I know for sure twice against Liverpool and one against Southampton. And he's been one of our best players, if not our best player on the pitch, in each one of those games. So where does that leave us? That leaves us in a situation where his contract runs out on the 30th of June. And he is saying he won't even sign an extension to take us to the end of the season. He's saying, on June 30th, my contract runs out. If I don't get an improved offer, I'm walking. I'm not signing a short-term deal to take me to the end of the season. And the issue I have from the club's point of view is, why don't you just buck up and pay that extra? Now, I know we don't have a lot of money to spend right now, but shouldn't that come into effect where we might have to buy a right back, because we don't think Ryan Fredericks is the future? Ben Johnson might be. We don't know. We haven't seen him play this season. But Jeremy Ngakia proved that he is capable of playing in that role on a weekly basis. So to save us some money in the long term, why wouldn't we give him that $8,000, that $10,000 a week, plus some bonuses on top of that, if that is the true figure? Now, X has not confirmed that exact amount, but from what we can gather, that's right around what he's asking for. And in my opinion, that's a reasonable request to ask for. Again, I know he's only played four games, but he's proved to me, at least, that he can play week in, week out, and I think I'm totally on board with giving him 8 to 10 grand a week. The only issue I do have that's slightly annoying is that he does refuse to, he's refusing to sign that short-term extension to play throughout the end of the season. He's gonna walk on June 30th if we don't reach a deal, and that to me is a little I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. You feel a little bit betrayed that he'd let down his teammates and not contribute to the team and the fans for the last few games. But to me, it says he's probably already got something lined up. And if it is a Crystal Palace or a Tottenham or another Premier League club, honestly, I can't blame him, because if you could walk and not risk yourself getting injured or suspended or anything stupid like that, I don't blame him for wanting to take it. So I am siding with Jeremy on this, so long as that 8 to 10,000 pounds a week is the figure, and the club are pinching pennies over it, and they don't want to have another Reece Oxford on their hands. The worst thing you could do is let him walk for nothing, and then he goes on to be an England regular, and Crystal Palace sell him to Man City for 80 million pounds in 5 years. That's the worst thing that could happen, and that's what I think the club should look at and say, well, we better not piddle fuck around with this. We better just pay him the money and get it done. So I know I rambled, but that's basically my views on it.
Listen, I'm all about my man getting his money. That's how I feel about it. If I'm Ngakia, I don't want to say that he's proven himself to be like the starter of all time, but he's really showed out those 4 matches, right?
He played better in those 4 matches than I've ever seen Ryan Fredericks play.
Amen. I agree 100%. So if I'm him, fuck yeah, I'm trying to get my money. Absolutely. I can use this as a bargaining chip, and especially on June 30th, I am gonna walk if they're not gonna give me what I want. Why would I sign a contract for an extra 3 weeks? Because I want to play for what, this week salary, and I tear my ACL, and then I can't come back, or I'm just a bang average League One player for the rest of my career because I'm constantly injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not signing that extension. And I will say my only gripe with them coming back from the when we were deciding, oh, is it safe, and what do we think about the Premier League coming back? I'm excited to watch, but at the same time, I am gonna say, yeah, if I'm the players, why would I sign and play past the end of my contract? If I know I'm gonna test free agency, why would I do that?
Yeah, what's the point?
There's no incentive. The only other incentive is if you don't think you're going to get a contract somewhere and you need to prove yourself for 4 weeks.
Which
But
clearly he doesn't need to
which
do.
he clearly he doesn't, because we do want to keep him. And if we want to keep him, that means somebody else probably would want to take him. So I'm totally cool with what Jeremy's doing. He's thinking about himself, and I think more players should. I love the club. I love West Ham, and I would like to see us not get screwed over, but I don't think we're being the ones doing I think we're the ones doing the screwing.
And
I think he's a good player, and if let's say he doesn't turn out to be a good player, I don't think those wages are anything incredibly damaging.
yeah,
I
what's eight
don't
grand a week to the club when
8
Carlos
grand a
Sanchez
week?
is on 75, 80,000 a week, and Jack Wilshere's on 100 grand a week?
Absolutely. Exactly. So you shed one of those guys who don't play, who are on some elevated, ridiculous contract, and that pays for Ngakoue. And let's say he does suck, which I don't think he does, but let's just say he's whack, right, and doesn't play ever for West Ham in the first team, and he just really excelled off this opportunity, and we sell him to a League One team for $250,000 in 2 years, right? Okay, well, that was a risk worth taking. Because shit, you said it right. Next thing you know, he goes to Palace for free, becomes an incredible outside English back.
Comes the next Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Let's say he is English, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that satisfies some of your homegrowns and all that, those rules and stuff. And he goes on and signs for United City, Liverpool, whomever. Probably not Liverpool because they're set on outside backs, but whatever. For 50, 60, 70 million, and you'd let him walk because you weren't ready and you were fucking around with 8 million, I mean 8,000 pounds a week. Like that's just ridiculous.
It's not a risk to me, and I don't
It's
understand why the
not.
club is, and that's if all of this is accurate. I mean, if it comes out that we're wrong on this, then I will absolutely change my stance on it, but if this is accurate, I can't for the life of me figure out why we wouldn't just pay him the money and get it over with. And I don't see a downside.
I have a question for you, because I know how I would answer it. Let's say off of those four games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say he plays this well and even grows, okay? Or let's just say we don't know. Let's just make it a hypothetical. It could be better or worse. And he wants $20,000, right? Reese Oxford money. We don't want to see what happens to Reese Oxford, right? But with the way that we've signed outside backs, well, I guess I was supposed to ask you the question. I answered it myself. I'm like, shit, I can't imagine what Fredericks is on. Probably more than that.
Yeah, he's probably on 50, I would guess, at least.
And I like Ryan Fredericks, but I think Ngakoue has outplayed him for what I've seen this season. Now, he was injured and all of that, because that's how Jeremy got in there. But from what I've saw when he wasn't injured and what I saw from Jeremy Ngakoue, I mean, shit. 20,000, you got yourself a young right back, Academy of Football. Everyone loves to see the young guys play. We developed Declan Rice after he came over from Chelsea. So all these things, I would like to see him get even 20 if he asked for it. Well, damn. Then we don't have to pay for a right back, because we don't invest properly in right backs anyway, or
no,
any outside backs.
Aaron Cresswell is the only outside back purchase that's been any good for us over the last few years. I mean, George McCartney down the line was okay. Like Edamel, it was okay. Joey O'Brien was a good servant, but I mean, we haven't had an excelling.
Did Guy DeMel play outside?
Back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was a right back.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, I mean, if he was asking for 20 grand a week, I would say the club have a much better argument for not paying him. And I can understand it. It's not my money. So I say, of course, pay him whatever he wants. I think he's good enough. And that'll save you having to dip into the transfer market for a 5 to 10 to 20 million pound player. If you want to get outside back, I don't see the downside to it. So,
listen, man, you know, we do say the phrase often, both of us, it's not my money. Well, fuck, the way that they spend their money, they might as well have you and me do it, for God's sake.
Right.
I mean, some of these contracts and money that they've spent on transfers, I say to myself, you know, we always say that's not our money. Well, they play around like it's not their money. I mean, it's an absolute mess sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we'll move on to the next question.
Follow-up, just real quick, follow-up to Scott's question was from your dad, Mr. Darbin. On top of Scott's question, do you think he will feature the rest of the way? I'm thinking they will have some to use him in some sort of density in these fixtures. So we already answered that we think he's going to walk on the 30th, but do you think he will feature at all until the 30th?
Well, he played against Crystal Palace in the friendly yesterday or the day before, and he scored apparently and was one of the best players on the pitch. I don't know if that's a good thing, because if that's the team that's interested in him, they're going to want him even more. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. I'm not the manager, but to me, if you know he's walking and he's the best right back you have available, you play him, unless he refuses to play. And then if he refuses to play, that's when we start to get an issue. With him not seeing out his contract. So
yeah,
it's hard for me to say. I would say I would play him. I would, personally, if it were me. I don't know what David Moyes will do, though.
No, I agree. Play the best player play the best players that you got until June 30th. And if he signs a long-term contract and some better money, then he keeps on playing the rest of the season. And if he doesn't sign, he doesn't sign. And best of luck to him, because I think this is a lot of the times that we don't treat these players like that. Like they're signing for their career.
Yeah. You know
what I mean, these guys are making money. He's 19 and he needs to prepare himself for the rest of his life and make his money. And I think it's selfish of fans for a lot of clubs and sports, not just football, but for baseball and basketball and all of our sports, that we don't look at players as people, as humans, as people got bills to pay. We look at them as entertainers and celebrities, and they have the same problems and financial issues and, well, maybe not the same financial issues, but they do need to prepare themselves for their lives. And, you know, a lot of us have went to college and went to trade school, and That's how we decide to make our money. They use what they got, and they only have their talents, so they're 34, 35.
Yeah, I totally
agree.
Then they
have to figure something out. So I think we got to give Ngakoue the benefit of the doubt here.
Totally agree. The next question we have is from Ian Tricheri at iTricheri on Twitter. And he says, evening, chaps. Hope you are both well. When life gets back to a semblance of normality, do you think that we'll see any changes for the better at our club and football in general? Which is kind of a loaded question. What do you think?
No. I would like to hope so. Maybe it's because I'm fairly content. I don't like the board. I don't like the negativity around our club. I don't like the way that we operate. I don't like the way that the management and board interact with fans. I just don't see that changing. And I guess I'm lucky where I'm happy with my situation as a fan and supporter, where I know I always say it, but I go over and I'm happy with my experience and seeing my friends and watching on TV and doing our podcast. So in a selfish way, I'm content. I wouldn't say I'm happy. I wouldn't say I'm miserable. I'm content. But I do think things do need to change. Absolutely. I think things need to change. I just don't see them changing, and I'm not very positive that they will change when it comes to West Ham in general.
For me, I'm hopeful that football in general as a whole, the fans after this is done with and we get back to normality, I hope that the fans are more respected and taken care of, and they realize how much they miss us. I hope the same for West Ham. Do I think that anything will change for the better out of this? I don't know. It's really hard to say. I'm hopeful that our owners will not take us for granted, and I hope that the FA and all of the football organizations don't take their fans for granted any after this, but it's hard to say if that will change. Go ahead.
Do you know what's something that – oh, I got to hold the mic back. Sorry, folks. You know what's something that really does rub me the wrong way, though? And you're supposed to say, what, Tony?
What?
I hate the Sky Sports, and you know who also is a big problem with this MLS? I hate when these leagues and production places pimp out fans for their promos. Like, especially MLS. This is a main MLS thing, but I see Sky Sports do it all the time. In MLS, they'll show like all the TIFO banners and the flares and smoke bombs and stuff, but all those things are banned in the stadiums, and they toss people out for doing that and then use them in their own promos. So almost similar to Sky Sports, where Sky Sports always has images of crazy scenes or fans going wild, but then also treats fans like shit moving 5-hour journeys to a Monday night. You know what I mean? So I think that's what rubs me the wrong way. And back to what you were saying is I wish that they would treat fans better. I don't see it happening. I think it's really shitty some of the things that they do like that. They pimp out the fans for pictures and interviews and promos, but then do shitty things that really inhabit the game and for the fans.
Yeah, there's a lot of hypocrisy that goes on with TV broadcasting companies and that sort of thing. I agree. And another thing I'm hopeful for is after this, I am really hopeful that some dialogue will be started with international supporters with West Ham. And I really am trying to I wouldn't say lead the charge, but at least get something going in terms of a international supporters liaison and something to where international fans will be more looked after than what they are, because I do feel that I've said in other podcasts that we as international supporters are extremely neglected when it comes to being even looked upon as fans and not just grant money taken for granted because we'll buy the shirts, but we don't need to recognize them at all, that sort of thing. So I hope that will change after this. I don't know why it would, but I'm hopeful that it will.
I probably said it in another pod, and I know I've said it on their pod. I love the Everton USA guys.
Yeah.
The way Everton does their stuff for their American supporters is absolutely incredible, and I really wish West Ham would take a page out of their book. And it don't even have to be just American supporters. I mean, international supporters counts as Ireland and counts as Spain and Germany and the Norwegian guys, or what's, oh my God, I sound like an idiot right now. What's the word for the Norway area?
Norwegian?
No,
Oh,
Scandinavian.
Scandinavian.
Yeah, there it popped in my head. Like the Scandinavian Hammers have a massive groups that come over, and I think Belgium as well. So it doesn't have to be just Americans. I
No, it's
think they
all
need to have,
international supporters.
I think I'd like to see an American Day. That's what Everton does. Everton organized an entire trip that you could purchase. Obviously, it wasn't free,
And
but they
we've said
really did
this.
something special for their USA fans, and I really think that is just incredible, because I'm lucky where I get to, I can make things happen. But there's a lot of people who, I think I said this on Baz's show, and I probably said on the last podcast, a lot of people don't realize that one trip for an American fan costs more than one season ticket.
Yeah.
So it's not that money makes you a fan or not fan, or it's just opportunity and where you live, you know? So I really think that people don't realize that a plane ticket's $600, trying to find a ticket in the lower bowl because you don't really want to sit up top. And then you're also talking about food, hotel, alcohol, match day experience. Who do you talk to? I mean, it's a whole thing. It's not like, oh, hey, show up, boom, America, you know?
Yeah, and I know people that I've met in our local St. Louis Hammers group that didn't know they were brand new to the West Ham world. They just wanted to go to a game because they were over there, and they showed up and had no idea about the rules, the etiquette, the wearing colors to an away day. I mean, and they just had no idea. They just thought you buy a ticket, you show up, you like everything's normal, and it's different. And I don't think that's addressed enough with international supporters. Again, which is why I suggest a liaison, an officer, a page, a web page,
Just or an
to
email, a
just a
dedicated email that
yeah,
even
just
fan
someone that can help.
services, like what if they had the UK fan services, like they're just normal fan services, but there was a direct US or direct international email that it gets first priority or whatever, and they'll check the email every day, and that one person always is the same person. Who, so they don't have to hire a specific person if they really didn't want to. They could just have one person addressing the issue, because I don't know what money's like in the front office for the club. But if they just had one person addressing all international issues and acted as a liaison, I mean, that alone would make a difference. Hey, I'm Joe Blow and I'm going to England for the first time. Can you help me understand some things on how to put together a trip? That would be awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. Anyway, we're starting to go a little long, so we're gonna do the next two questions here. I know if there was a bunch of other ones, if we don't get to your question, I'm sorry, but the next question we have here is from Minneapolis Hammers at Hammers MPLS, and
Shout out to Cody.
and Cody says, regardless of the uncertainty at right back, should Ben Johnson get a chance to take the starting left back spot? What do you think?
Ooh, that's a tough one because I just got done pumping up Jeremy and Ngakia. I haven't seen enough from Ben Johnson. I'm not really on the Ben Johnson train like everyone else is. I liked what I saw from Ngakia. I missed, I think, one of the games that Ben Johnson played. I hear there's a lot of people in the Ben Johnson train, so I'm not saying people is
And Ben
wrong.
Johnson hasn't played this season
But
for
I
the
personally haven't seen him, and right, it was last season, right?
Right.
Yeah, so do I think he should get a shot? Yes. Do I think he should have a shot this season? No. I would rather stick with, even if it's not that great, I'd like to stick with something I know, which is Cresswell and or Masuaku going into these last seven games. I don't really want to try something new that I'm unsure about. That's just me. However, we've been pretty ass all season, so maybe we should something try something new. What are your thoughts?
I think if Moyes trusts him more than Johnson or more than Creswell and Masuaku, then yes, let's play him. For me to sit here and say I think he needs to play right now over Creswell and Masuaku is a bit naive because we haven't seen him play this season. I haven't even seen him kick a ball. I think Moyes, if I trust his decision, if Ben Johnson's a left back to take us forward. But for now, if it's me picking, I'm going with Creswell. And I'd probably put him over Masuaku, though, because I really don't like what Masuaku's turned into. I think he's been atrocious this season. So I would say, for me right now, just not knowing anything, Creswell number one, Johnson two, Masuaku three.
Agreed.
And the next and final question we'll take here is from Las Vegas West Ham. That's John Black. And he says, what are your thoughts on supporters groups meeting in bars in America, social distancing, et cetera?
I'm not really the authority on what people should or shouldn't do, considering I just traveled across the country to go see my other family. I'm also not the guy to talk about because I don't go to the bar. I sit at home and watch. I like going up to New York to see my buddies Nick and Dan and the rest of the New York Hammers, which is about 3.5 hours from me. So for me to really argue, I usually sit in bed with a cup of espresso and watch myself. So I really don't care either way. No offense, John. I appreciate the question. I don't really care because in this scenario, it doesn't really affect me. I would just like to see what is safe for everybody. And I think that would be the proper answer is if you are comfortable and you want to go out to the bar, then go ahead. If you are not comfortable and you don't think it's safe, I'm not a pandemic specialist. If people should stay at home, then stay at home. If you are ready to go out, then go out. That's how I feel about it. But I'm not itching to go to the bar. If I've been out, I've sat outside and social distance. I know that's not exactly how it works, but in Pennsylvania and South Carolina, we can now visit restaurants again. But I don't like sitting inside in the closed areas, and I definitely would not be standing at a bar with people. So that's just me. I wouldn't do it. But if somebody else wants to, go right ahead. And I'm not the one to tell you yes or no.
I'd say as long as your local state government, you need to follow the laws, obviously, of whatever your local government is. Illinois, we've been one of the strictest states in the country. Across the river in Missouri, they've been one of the most relaxed. And
shocking.
Missouri now is going to be dropping all COVID precautions as of, I think, in the next week or two. They will be dropping all of it. There will be no guidelines. You're free to do whatever you want. And my bar I go to is in Missouri. I will say the Amsterdam Tavern's been great. They are open again, but they are not the inside seating's all been removed. You cannot sit inside. There's a back patio where it's open. It's tented, but it's all open. And the benches have been spaced out 6 feet between each other, and you must wear a mask to be in there. So I think that's a good start. Obviously, you can't drink with your mask on, so you have to take it up, take it down, take a sip. I went the first day it was open just out of curiosity to see what it was like and watched the first round of Bundesliga games. And there was probably 10 people there. I was with one of my buddies across the bench. I had my mask on at all times. It was good. Now, a Premier League match day is going to be a little bit different. I know there's an attendance capacity in there. I think it will be very, very tough to stay sufficiently distant from everyone. But again, I think go ahead.
I think you just sparked something in my mind. You know, I think about, for example, the NYC Hammers is one of the biggest attended ones. I know Chicago has good attendance. Those are only two that I've witnessed personally, and I know I've seen pictures from the Philly guys. Think what's going to happen when you have 25 West Ham fans in the bar, and you have like three more outside, and they're at capacity. Now you're sending people home. You know, people might not want to go out because they're like, well, damn, if I'm not going to be able to get in or not, then I miss kickoff because I got to head back home. I think it's going to be weird and completely different, and that's why, again, from the guy who always watches at home anyway, I'll probably be staying at home.
Yeah, I mean, I would go. If I think my dad is going to go. I think he is going. I am going out of town to go visit family like you are this weekend. I will be in Ellington, Missouri, in southeast Missouri, about 2.5 hours away from me. And I think if I was in town, I would go and try to be responsible. I did attend a large gathering of people not that long ago, and I was comfortable there. I wasn't everyone was masked, and I had my mask on, so that was good. But I think like you said, it's up to the individual, and as long as you're following your state's guidelines and rules, then I don't see any reason why you should. Now, if you're going out and being irresponsible without a mask on and getting up in everyone's personal space, and I have a problem with that. But as long as you're responsible, I think that's good on me. And hopefully we'll start to see it slowly go away. I have my doubts on that, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's it. That's about it for me. I don't have any other questions over here. Is there any other parting comments? Oh, yeah, give a shout-out before we finish on the show you're on.
Yeah, so we had Russ Budden reach out to us on Twitter, and his Twitter handle's @DJRussyB. He is the host of the My Hammers 11 YouTube show. And I went on, what was that, yesterday or the day before, and I don't think it's out just yet, but we recorded an episode, and he was great. He was terrific. If you haven't checked out his show, I highly, highly recommend it. Again, it's My Hammers 11 on YouTube. And yeah, he had me on. We asked about my personal experiences, and I got to pick my West Ham all-time 11 of my favorite players. And you don't have to have any rhyme or reason to pick your players, but that's the gist of the show. You go on there, you give a little bit about yourself, and then you get to pick an 11 West Ham players from your lifetime that you've got to see play. And I had a really good time, and I highly recommend it. We're going to have Russ on our show at some point in the near future. And hopefully we'll have a few other guests coming on as well in the near future. But I highly recommend checking out his show if you haven't already. It's well worth a watch. And if you have to pick one episode to watch, I'd say watch my episode.
Well, I can't wait to watch your episode. So it is not out yet, or at least the time that we record this podcast. So I'm going to keep refreshing and watching his show, waiting for yours. Any other shout-outs that we have? X and Dave's show, you listened to this week. I said I haven't listened to podcasts in a while, but I think I'm going to join them back because they've had some really, really crazy good guests to fill the time with lack of actual games to chat about. So probably going to backdate and listen to a few of their good guests, so I'm excited for that. Other than that, any other shout-outs, or do you want to skip to the part I always jack up?
Yeah, and before I do that, I will say the John Hartson episode was really, really, really good. And what my favorite thing about what they are doing over there with their show right now is they are all players that were just before my time over the past 5 or 6 guests that they've had. All of them I didn't get to see play in person, and I'm learning a lot about these players. And like Peter Butler, they had on, and I'm struggling to remember names now, but all of them I'm learning, and I think it's really cool that they're doing that, so I get the chance to feel like I watched them because I get to hear all these stories. But anyway, that'll be the end of the week. We went a little long. Hopefully you bared with us here. We will be back on a regular basis starting since West Ham is coming back. We will be back, and we will be trying to get very good guests on for you guys, so it's not just listening to us blab on for an hour and a half. So
I think we're all right. I think we're all right.
We're okay. We're okay. Anyway, if you want to follow us on Twitter, follow us at West Ham Way US Pod. You can follow us on Facebook as well. Like Tony said earlier, just search West Ham Way USA Podcast. We're the first search result that pops up, and we're going to try to be more active on there. For Twitter, you can follow me at Brawley Darbin. You can follow Tony at Tony Clark Duke. Please, please, please go on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. That would help us out tremendously. And if you stuck with us through this dark period of no podcast, we really do appreciate it. We thank you very much. And we will try to get back again, like I said, to a more regular basis. Until then, hopefully we'll be coming to you after a resounding West Ham victory on Saturday, and we'll have a great podcast to talk about. Do you have a quick preview or prediction score real quick off the top of your head?
No preview. Prediction score, I'm going to say 2-1 to West Ham.
2-1 West Ham. I like that. I'm going to go 1-1. Don't know why. That's just a number I pulled off the top of my head. So until then, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Irons.
Peace.